Let's do it. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kind of Funny podcast. I'll be your host today, taking you through what?
What are you taking us through?
What are we going to do?
What are you going to take us through?
I'm going to take you guys through a spiritual and time journey today.
Okay.
Spiritual and time.
It's a sexual awakening journey.
It's a sexual awakening, dude.
That's
kinda
what
like
we're going to do.
I feel like that might be the headline of this.
Sexual awakening? Fantastic. Yeah. To my right, of course, is Andy Cortez. Say hello to the people.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
And to his immediate right is the best blue eyes in San Francisco.
That's me.
What we're calling, well, for now, we'll for see now. What happens to them. We're going to call you Blind Fury in 2 days, Mr.
Blind
Tim
Fury,
Gettys.
Tim Gettys,
say hello
yes.
to everyone.
Andy, are we in a Super Bowl, the big game halftime show right now?
Why?
I don't know, man. I'm seeing some shit on this table that...
What? I don't like this. First off, I almost grabbed that thing.
Me encanta el Pepsi.
I almost grabbed that.
That was funny, though.
Look at this. Look at how they almost tricked me. Because these two cans were right next to each other.
Look how much better this kind of looks. Matte black.
Matte black with the
black
pull tab.
Matte black does look pretty dope, though. Yeah. Oh, with the...
And I almost grabbed it thinking, that's so cool. And then I saw the Pepsi logo, and I was like, I took it, and I threw it out the window.
Yeah, and here it is.
Yeah. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, this episode of the
Es bien sabroso.
There it is. This episode of the Kind of Funny podcast is brought to you by Upstart Movement and Manscaped. But we'll get to those later. Right now, though, I do want to thank our list of Patreon producers.
It's so long.
Who have made this happen. Of course, you guys all came out in January. You came out in droves to support our fundraising initiatives in January. We hit a goal of $87,000, which means that Andy gets to keep his job.
Woo! Woo! Shit yeah, dude.
Of course, it also means that we're making this amazing new studio. We're doing all sorts of other cool stuff. Check back in with us as the year goes around. But to kick this list off, of course, we got James.
Do you want to go one by one?
There's a lot.
You want to split them? We can go boop, 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 boop.
Oh, you want to do both back and forth?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Cool. I'll start with James Davis.
Okay, cool.
Ready? James Davis.
David Mindtell, the mind freak.
Mohammed.
Justin Toft.
Drew Garnier Fructis.
Kent Lundblad. Oh, that's DJ Kenta.
Is that DJ Kenta?
Mm-hmm.
His name is Kent Lundblad.
I mean,
that's dope.
Yeah.
Cool. James Hastings.
Cameron Regan.
Mark the Freeman.
Alex J. Sandoval.
Matthew Billy Batson.
Andrew Feisner.
Devin the Hook Holbrook.
Seth Ginger.
Steve Powerman 5000 Powers.
Ali Haji.
Tanner, I can't get any Tanner Kirby.
Ray Kubert.
Samuel Adams Aldersey.
Why'd you add Adams?
Oh, it's Sam Adams,
beer,
bro.
I see.
Come on. I'm fucking crushing this.
You're killing
today.
It right
Anthony
now.
Anthony Esquivel.
Charlton Alvarenga, the Avenger.
The word kind of looks like it.
It kind of does.
Melissa Horton.
Peter Lunchenbach. No, Luckenbach.
His first name is?
Oh, Parker.
Your mind went to the other thing.
Yeah, it really did.
Daniel Arroyo.
Keith Lewis.
Richard Abrahamson. Abramson.
Kiernan O'Donnell.
Lee Polero.
The nanobiologist.
Frank Furter.
Sean Valoric.
Andrew C.
Give me Sean again. Sean Valerian Valoric.
You took it. I didn't have to give it to you. You just took it.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew C.
And Quaid Start the Reactor Burnett. Thank you so much to
you
all
were really
you
good there.
You were on it.
Thank you.
I didn't even try.
No, you didn't. And we'll just say that. Maybe
thank
it's
you,
the Pepsi.
Everybody.
It starts to rot your brain after a while. Of course, you guys can also continue to support us on Patreon. We appreciate that very much. It definitely keeps the lights going. You go over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, or if you're more into the gaming side of things, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, and back us at any level. Any dollar counts. But if you want to be a part of this show, ladies and gentlemen, you start with the bronze tier and work your way up, just like Derek Samoya did. He submitted a question that we may or may not read later on the show, depending on any timing.
I bet we will.
I also have DJ B-Dubs, which was dope, and Brandon Hunt. You guys made the list today.
There we go.
We'll see. Brandon H. I don't know if his last name's Hunt. It just
probably
said H.
Not.
Did DJ B Dubs go Buffalo Wild Wings?
I think DJ B Dubs and DJ Kento need to fucking have it out in the parking
DJ
lot
battle.
Of like a 7-Eleven.
Street Fighter.
Not a good parking lot.
Are they going to DJ battle or are they going to fight?
I don't. Whatever they want to do.
Okay.
Throw
I'll
discs
watch.
At each other. See how far you could throw a record. Throw it into
record.
A tree.
Like Winter Soldier.
What's that sound effect?
It's when you throw.
No. I don't think that's the sound.
It's a disc is what a dick sounds like.
Well, you're really good at it, though.
Listen, close your eyes and come close to me.
How are you making it 3D?
Close your eyes and come close to me.
Okay.
Oh, Greg Miller's not here, but I feel like he is.
Of course.
Greg, I got some stories for you. I got some fun stuff for you. So there's this age-old tradition here at Kind of Funny that when you are the newest employee, you don't understand how airplanes work.
Yeah.
All right. So,
oh God, what did he do?
This goes to back in the day, Kev. I'm just gonna throw you under the bus, even though it was my fault as well. We were like, you were like the newest employee or whatever, and we almost missed our New York flight. We've told that story before.
Andy's never had any issues
except for the one time you did when.
Hey guys, where's everyone?
It was our
E3. Go ahead.
We're all there
for the plane thing.
Hey, where are you? Outside, not even through security. We are at the gate. Like
I was, wow. Goddamn Usain Bolt running down the goddamn.
And you made it. Tim, you made it.
You
terminal. Made it.
Did you, when you imagined him outside when he was texting us, "Hey guys, I'm still outside of security. Where are you?" And we're like, "We're on the plane. They're shutting the door." Do you think he was like this?
100
No, I was so scared. I was so stressed out.
Side tangent, real quick. Andy came over to watch the Super Bowl. Which was so much fun. But the best thing was looking over and Andy just sitting on a chair propped up with a blanket over.
It was so it was so comfortable, man.
It's like he was perched like a fucking owl.
It sits on his feet.
Because it was really chilly in your place. Yeah. But the blanket just made it perfect.
I'll say this. I popped over to watch the halftime show. Good, eat some of your snacks and say what's up. And say what's up to everyone.
Chips and guac are great.
But there's just a funny thing that happens when I walk into a room now. And I don't know if you guys noticed this or not. God. Specifically with Andy, he goes like this.
You're such a liar.
That's not true, but it's also not true.
Right? Where I see the reaction I have where everyone's like, I just don't have the energy for Nick.
No, it's especially Joey right now. Because you've been giving it to her, dude.
What's he giving?
Positive energy for the most part.
Yeah.
But it's so much positive energy that I'm like, ow, she's going to explode. Sometimes
because she was used to just me shutting the fuck up when she was in our office.
She had to deal with in the front office was Kevin.
Yeah.
And I think when she moved into the back office, now she deals with Kevin and me.
Yeah.
And it's all.
Well, and Greg.
And, my God. Greg throws fake
Greg
punches at her.
Greg will just throw punches at her. Just randomly. And it's like. when you say it out loud like that.
That's a joke, right?
It's not a joke.
It's a joke in that he's joking around like, oh, what's up? He's not actually trying to throw a punch at Joey.
But one day,
terrifying.
We'll have a little too much recap juice.
Yeah, that fucking goon is going to have some recap juice and just knock her ass out.
Not going to know all of his surroundings.
Oh, dude, shit. I love that.
Like we were sitting in Tim's lovely theater.
Thank you. It's coming along.
It is beautiful. It was so great. I want to watch every movie now.
Hell yeah, you can.
Just every movie.
Not Suicide Squad though, right?
Not that one. but Tim looked at his phone and goes, "Holy shit. Nick and D are coming."
Yeah, we did.
And I got excited. I was like, no way.
He was stoked. Everyone was stoked. No way. I ran around the house talking about, dude, they're coming.
And I told you, we weren't the only ones that are stoked. When I posted the photo of the halftime show and I cut to you and you were dancing in the Instagram story, I got at least four people replying, holy shit, y'all got Nick to go?
Yeah. To be fair, it's not that I don't like hanging out with
you guys.
It's just you hit the weekend and it's like, so much energy just to leave the fucking house at a certain point.
Yeah.
We were up in Napa for just a night. We booked like a hotel room up there just to relax because they're doing so much fucking construction in my apartment complex right now. We can't get a break. And then on the way down, I was like, we're already driving. I've already got you in the car. You already look good. Like, you got the makeup on
and
all that stuff.
She did look good, dude.
Let's just go. And then she was like, well, we can't show up without, you know, a gift of some sort. Because this is apparently what I was like, I'm just going to show up and eat all this fucking guacamole.
Yeah.
It was delicious.
So we got you these little brownie bites. Did you try them last night?
So here's the thing. This is the gift that keeps on. It was a delayed reaction. I didn't realize they brought gifts.
Whoa.
The gift was your presence.
Yeah. Neither did I.
But apparently, like, yesterday me and Nick went to lunch and you were like, oh, yeah, did you have those brownies? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? So last night, I got down on those brownies.
We were staying up in a place called Yountville, which is like a nicer little town of Napa, but they have this restaurant called Bouchon. And a Bouchon is the name of the restaurant, but it also is the name of a brownie bite that they make fresh every morning. And the fucking line of this place
is around the corner. A carton you buy from Smart and Final or something.
No.
These are like four
tiny little bites. Oh. And it's the perfect amount of brownie.
They're so good.
Would it surprise you that it took everything in my power to not eat that brownie?
It would not.
I was sitting there with my foot in ridiculous pain looking at those brownie bites, and I was just like, who would notice? Who would
Kevin,
notice?
Eat it all. Nobody would have ever known, dude.
Does it? I mean, literally, I ate all that guacamole, and I was like, I'm not hungry anymore. As we were driving home, but I'm gonna need a snack to get me through Suicide Squad. Yeah. So I got a burrito, and halfway through the burrito, because it goes, I figured it's gonna go well with the chips and guacamole. Yeah, sure. Yeah. And I was like, I got a big old burrito, and halfway through, it was one of those things where I'm sitting down. I'm like, I should stop eating this because I'm having trouble legitimately choking it down. But I'm not a quitter. So I kept going, and I was drinking soda, and I burped, and a little bit of the burrito came up.
Oh, yeah. God.
And I was like, oh! And I locked eyes with my wife, and she was like, stop eating the burrito.
You psychopath.
And I waited for her to leave the room, and I finished the burrito.
Yeah, you did.
Because I ain't no fucking quitter, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. Nick Scarpino.
I gotta do the rigmarole before we go on.
I love how you said, I ain't no fucking quitter. And you slowed down a little bit. I'm like, where's he segueing to? Like, he has something in his head. Yeah. Go, do the rigmarole.
I always screw this up.
Rig it up.
So, man. I went, when you told me I was hosting this, mm-hmm. I was like, cool, I'm going to go back and I'm going to watch every episode of the Game Over Gaga show and the Kind of Funny podcast. Okay. I already fucked it up. The Kind of Funny podcast, yeah. Just to get it right.
Yeah.
And I meant that mental note to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And
in the last 5 minutes,
and I didn't
what
do it
I
at
told
all.
You.
So I'm just going to
I asked, are you going to host? And you said, oh, yeah, I could. Totally. Exactly. And I said, I could totally do it. And you're like, nah, I
enjoy
doing
it. I like to flex my creative.
Oh, shit.
Flex my creative.
You're going to punch me too.
Wings.
No. I'm about to get knocked out.
Fucking Greg. So dumb. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kind of Funny podcast where three. Sometimes four best friends gather around this table, each bringing some stuff that we want to talk about for your amusement. Tim has a great topic coming up later, but we can do it right now. What do you want to do? You want to keep one?
Keep doing the rigmarole.
I can't remember the rest.
There's no way you know the rest. Nope. Not a fucking chance. Nope. You have no idea when this show goes live anywhere.
Damn.
Take a guess, Nick. When does the Kind of Funny podcast go live now?
Fridays.
Nope.
Fridays tomorrow. For Patreons?
It's the day after. No, we don't do that anymore.
Fucking yeah. A, yeah. It's too hard.
They get the post show. They get the exclusive post
show.
You get the show ad free.
Do you know how many Patreon questions I get on Twitter? And then I just show the tweet to Joey and I just don't talk. I just show her.
Yeah.
I always just tag Joey. That's all. It's like she knows.
As far as I'm concerned, this important piece of content goes live right around 2 o'clock on Wednesdays. 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock on Wednesday.
6 a.m. Wednesdays.
Is that it? Okay. Maybe I'm thinking of that other show. What's it called?
KFA.
Got it.
That was good. That was pretty good.
I like to do this shit. Ready? The Cool Greg. Gang shit. Pa, 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 pa. You see this?
Yeah.
Pa,
pa. Okay.
Do gangsters do that, though? Do
they yeah,
do
like
with fucking revolvers?
Yeah.
You're old school.
It's like a Red Dead.
So here's the deal. People losing flights left or missing flights.
Oh,
although
right,
no one's actually missed it, though. Me and Kev made it to New York. Andy made it to E3. Joey, her
Remember
thing was.
Greg missed his flight?
Greg's, to this day, Greg Miller is the only one that missed a flight. Yeah. Kind of Funny.
Wow. I missed the flight once.
Four Kind of Funny, but
I got on the next flight.
You're right. The Vancouver. Yeah. You got couved with the guys with the long
oh,
skis.
Oh, man. They fucked me.
Right?
They fucked skis? Me. It was a. Kayak.
That's what it was. Yeah. But then Joey, there was one time where she fell asleep for way too long, woke up too late, but she made it. She made it wherever she was going. It was totally fine. We had another one of those issues today. All right. Blessing having a lot of issues where like Blessing and Joey had to go to LA for something today.
We're not allowed to say what.
Yeah.
But they may or may not be going to the Playboy Mansion.
Okay, may or may not be. You don't know.
So
they were going down there, and somebody else booked their flights. It wasn't us that booked the flights. Joey's done this a million times. She knows how this shit works. She's like, hey, Blessing, make sure you check in
for your flight.
So he went to check in, and as he was going to check in, they were pretty much like, hey, we don't have your confirmation on record. And it's like, oh, no. And you could just hear Blessing start to freak the fuck out. Yeah. This is one of those things where I could tell he didn't want to ask for help from anybody. But he was like going to Joey's, like, hey, man, I need to like figure this out because Joey gets things done. I see him kind of panicking, but I'm like kind of keeping my eye out. Like, do I need to get involved in this? And I was like, she got this. He had to make some phone calls. Eventually, it came out that it was like, oh, they messed something up. They put his name down as Blessings instead of Blessing.
Right.
It happens a lot.
Many of them.
And anyways, they're like, yeah, if you come, you're going to be totally fine. So that's where he left. He's like, it's going to be good. They get to the airport. They're waiting to get on their flight. Joey's about to get on their flight. Then they realize they don't have the same flight.
What?
Oh,
yeah.
No.
They had different flights going to different airports?
Down
which
LA?
Makes no sense.
That's dumb.
They're going to the same place.
They're going together.
Yeah.
Were they booked at separate times?
I don't know. They
I have
should,
to imagine that. Like,
they shouldn't have been. I have no idea, but I just love that Blessing just assumed. And on, to his credit, I get it. Like, I would assume that, too.
Like, I heard Joey back there going, oh, by the way, our flight's delayed by, like, 15 minutes. It's no big deal or something like that.
So he just, all right. But then it gets better. Blessing gets on his flight. Like, he makes it. It's totally fine. He gets in his flight. He looks over at Greg Miller. Because Greg's also going to L.A. for something else. Greg's like, what the fuck are you doing here?
They're just sitting next to each other.
You gotta love it, though.
In first class.
He's now officially part of Kinda Funny now.
You gotta do it. You do it once, and then you learn from that traumatic experience to just double check shit.
It's always traumatic.
And check in as soon as like I try to check into the flight as early as humanly possible just to know that there's nothing else that I need to do.
I do it right at the 24-hour mark.
Yeah, as soon as I get the text from United or whatever it is, I go in and I
check. Because isn't it like the earlier you do it, the more chance you get of like an upgrade? Yeah, is that an old wives' tale?
I think it's a wives' tale.
Is that an old wives' tale? Like the chupacabra?
I used to think the earlier you did it, the better boarding group you got. But I think that they don't do that shit anymore. I think no matter what, if you don't have a status,
that's pay as
you're getting fucking loading group.
Yeah,
zone four or whatever.
If you pay for the whatever super awesome thing, you get it like group B at least.
Oh man, I'll never forget the first flight I ever missed in my life. I'd never missed a flight, and I was flying with the old sports editor whose name I can't even remember. I think it was Ari. Avi. Was it Avi? I can't remember. And we used to smoke cigarettes. And we were in the Chicago O'Hare Airport.
Smoking cigarettes.
And we were going
airplane.
To Columbus, Ohio for a UFC fight. And also to see Joe Rogan, which was interesting because they did 1-2 for that. They got us into the Joe Rogan show that was happening the night prior. And we were just smoking cigarettes and he was drinking beers. And we were like, this is really fun. Like, we're in the airport because you could smoke. And then all of a sudden, a lot of time. And I was like, what time is our flight leave? And he was like, oh, I think it leaves like 7. I was like, it's 7:30.
Yeah.
We were gone. We just totally missed it. We were in the bar, crowded bar, so we couldn't hear them calling our names.
You live there.
We ran up. She was like, I called your name like 10 times. We're like, we're assholes.
I had one of those weird things where when I was flying back from Christmas, my flight was delayed so long that they, on my app, they presented an extra flight option that was much earlier. But to me, it looked like I accidentally booked two flights and just didn't know.
That makes sense.
And I was just like, did I pay for two fucking flights? And I've got... It was totally in the realm of possibility because that's something I would do.
Absolutely.
That I would just forget that I booked and then I booked another one. And so I'm looking at the thing and it's like, your flight's been delayed by 40 minutes because of inclement weather. I was like, oh, okay. And then your flight's been delayed 2.5 hours. I was like, what the fuck? And I looked and one of them was 40 minutes. One of them was 2.5 hours. Two different flights. And I just had this sinking feeling like, God, I'm a fucking moron, dude. And I called the lady. She was like, no, that's just like an alternate. No, you didn't pay for two flights.
You're like, thank God.
Thank God, dude, because I totally would do something that idiotic.
Oh, God, when they canceled my flight coming back from fucking Christmas. Was it Christmas or was it Thanksgiving? I think it was Thanksgiving. Never again. I'm not traveling during the holidays again. Good. You got me one time, United. It's not happening ever again.
Never again.
Yeah. Oh, no, it wasn't Christmas. It was that random time I went down there. But holy crap. So they made it down then.
Oh, yeah, they made it. They're totally fine. They're doing their thing. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be fun.
Excellent. Tim.
Yes.
You have a topic.
I do have a topic.
Do you want to get it to the tail end of the show? You want to shit
chat
first?
Let's do it now. Let's do it right now. So there's this show that we've been talking about that Joey got me hooked on in the last couple of weeks called The Circle.
Makes sense.
It's a Netflix show. We talked about it a little bit on the Kinda Funny screencast. Have you heard the premise of this show, Andy?
I know it's a reality show for today's day and age. Very exactly. Social media kind of.
Reality show on Netflix. It took place over 3 weeks. They did 4 episodes a week. We ended up just watching it after it all came out, so we just like binged the whole thing. Mm-hmm. 12 episodes total, hour each. It's a lot of goddamn content for this type of stuff. But the premise is very interesting. My topic is not the show itself. My topic is how would we play this game if we were on the show?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you the rules. There are 8 contestants. They're all staying in the same hotel structure. Mm-hmm. It's not really a hotel. It's more of like a condo.
Sure.
So they each get their own apartment, right? They stay in their apartments. They're not allowed to leave their apartments at all. They don't have their phones. They don't have TV. They don't have anything.
How do they eat?
People come and give them food.
Straws.
Like, there's like a message service that you can use. All they have is a TV screen.
And a restroom.
A TV screen called The Circle that they get to talk to, and it's a social media thing. Well, it's like AIM, essentially. Mm-hmm. And you get to message the other contestants. And there's a bunch of rules of how often you can do it and like all this stuff. But all you get to do is have your name, your profile picture, and your bio.
Yeah.
Right? That's it. Now, the goal is to trick everyone to be as close to you as possible to be the last person standing. There's like a voting out process, like similar to Survivor, right? Like all that stuff. But you don't know who you're talking to. You don't know who you're making friends with, right? Because you can make your bio whatever you want. And that's the key. You can make the bio whatever you want because you never actually talk to these people. Andy could be a girl. Nick could be a much younger man.
Yeah, I could.
Like, you better could do hair. Whatever you want. Or you could just be you if you're confident in you and how people are going to gonna take you and how you mm-hmm. are talking, mm-hmm. given your picture. So does this make sense at all?
Yeah.
So, okay.
We could watch the trailer.
So it's Catfish the fucking show.
Exactly. But you don't need to be Catfish. Okay. You could choose to be your own person.
Okay.
Pull up the trailer. I want them to get a visual so they can understand this.
Okay. So I can. Are there people on the show using actual real photos of themselves?
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't want to spoil the show,
but some are many total bullshitters.
Many of them are themselves.
You as the viewer, do you know who's?
Yes.
Okay.
Because you're seeing them. All you're seeing is them.
So you're the viewer. You're never surprised.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Gotcha.
Man, they did not try hard with the set design on this,
dude. It's awesome.
They just put a big old circle on this building. That was it.
Can I see Alana's profile?
Oh, it's a nice little, like,
I mean, full
man,
model.
Alana efficiency. Is not bad.
No.
Oh,
on social media,
lights
you
up.
Can be anyone.
Let the games begin.
And say anything.
Okay,
I want to fucking
think.
Kill
so
all these people. I want to murder all these people.
Was on the line. Welcome to The Circle.
What's up, Circle?
A new social experiment where players don't meet face-to-face.
What?
They only communicate through The Circle.
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 Circle? Take me to my profile.
Oh, man. This is better than Christmas.
But what happens next?
My game plan is just to be myself.
Must be seen.
They got basketball.
Be
a new player has joined the circle.
The new queens came out with claws.
I hope you all you say you are, because I'm not.
No way.
In the circle, I'll be playing my girlfriend, Rebecca.
Whoa,
hot.
Here we go, honey.
And nothing is off limits.
My crazy cramps get really bad.
What?
Get ready.
Because you had to pretend to be a girl.
Yep. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
Keeping from you.
Whoa.
So you're only looking at text.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
What?
Shocking reveals.
She's been blocked from the circle.
Before I leave, she can meet one player.
Hello?
And all the drama.
The biggest risk that anyone can take is to be yourself.
Somebody's dream is about to end.
I could really be going home right now.
We gotta pick someone to block.
This game will turn you inside out.
The circle has no chill.
This is gonna get ugly. I love it.
The circle.
That guy's a fucking douche.
It's
gonna be real juicy. I hope y'all got a cup.
All right. Does that clear it up a little bit?
Yeah.
Sure. So the point is, it's a competition.
And by the way, you saying you hate all these people, they could not be more different. Like, like some of them are just, you're just old people. Some of you are young people. Some of you are people that are on social media all the time. Some of you are people that never use social media.
Right.
Like, it's a wide array of different types of people. And they're all getting to choose, should I play myself or should I play someone else? No matter whether yourself or someone else, you're trying to play everyone else into liking you.
Here's my pitch for you. KFAF bit. We do a bit called The Square, where it's you and me in a social media game.
We figure out who
you're crushing it, and the entire time I'm trying to figure out how the social media works. And then once I figure out how Instagram works, we move to like Snapchat. And I'm like, God damn, I gotta start all over again.
You asked me how to post a photo.
Every single time. Andy, how
do
I post?
Tag my friend. okay, so the voting process.
Mm-hmm.
It gets, you know,
do you
how
have
many
to
episodes
vote out?
So
every week?
Essentially, what happens is you're able to message people all through text. All you see is text and their picture.
Okay.
So you need to believe they are who they say that they're being. Mm-hmm. You have no idea. And going into the show, they don't know that they're not the only person that's real or they're the only person that's a catfish. They obviously know what they're playing.
Yeah, they know what they are.
But the rest of them could all be fake people and they wouldn't know.
Right.
But they're in this process for weeks at a time, the only interaction they're having is this online interaction. So they start to form relationships and friendships with these people that are all trying their hardest to keep their stories straight, even if their stories are real, and trying to get other people to like them, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of each night or whatever, there's a player rankings where everybody ranks everybody from 1 to 8. Okay.
There you go. Yeah.
It ranks them from 1 to 8, and then the person with the lowest ranking gets booted.
Every night?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a constant stream of new people coming in.
Yes.
Exactly. And then how does it end?
So it just ends with, like, eventually whoever gets ranked the highest, like most liked by people.
Okay.
But it's all strategy because right. you realize, you see the alliances that are forming of people that are like, oh man, the girls are forming a clique.
Right.
We need to kind of like counteract that by downvoting them, making sure that they're at the bottom and all that stuff.
Brutal.
A lot of strategy, a lot of stuff going on. But it is totally just manipulating people and all that. So it starts with, the question I have for you guys is, how would you play the game? Would you be yourselves or would you be someone else?
That's a great question, Tim.
I would lean against being myself. And I feel only because once people started hating on me for whatever reason, or if they were trying to get me outvoted for whatever reason, I would like take it way too personally. I'd be like, why, God? Like, why are you being mean right now? I feel like I would have to play a character in order to be this sort of vicious, conniving jerk.
Now, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. You don't ever want to be a conniving jerk. Because, like, the moment you're mean to anybody, you lose that alliance.
But I mean, behind somebody's back, you know,
gotcha.
Like.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, Andy's going to be scheming behind people's backs left and right.
It would be role playing.
He's going to be an angel in the streets and a devil in the sheets.
Here's an extra element to this, though, that keeps it real interesting is the person that gets voted out gets to choose one person to go see in person.
Oh.
Then they have a conversation and then they get to record a video that all the rest of the players see.
So you know that person's fake or not.
Yeah.
Interesting.
See, it's eventually revealed that it's like, oh, that person that I thought was this person is actually the person I thought was like
and
a
still
young Asian woman
point.
Is an old black man.
And they're still in the game at this point.
They get kicked out. But they're like, I went to go see Tony. But if Tony is who he says he is, then that person can stay in the game.
That person would totally just be like, hey, Tony is who he says he is. He's the greatest person.
What if they don't need a snitch?
What if they don't need a snitch? They can do whatever they want.
What the fuck? This game has no rules.
That's the thing is like, and I don't want to spoil shit. What makes the show interesting is everyone's going in like, I'm about to play everyone. But then they start buying into the shit. Then all of a sudden they're all friends. And it gets really fucking weird because that's just social media and how it works.
Well, it's not only that getting addicted to the likes, but it's that you're cutting people off from the rest of society.
Mm-hmm.
And this to me represents just.
It's a Black Mirror episode.
It's terrifying.
It really feels that way.
This is not something that's going to be positive. I feel like these people are going to fundamentally be changed by this. And then once they're let out into the public, they're going to start changing everyone else. And then all of a sudden, social media is going to take off and everyone's going to be glued into their phones.
It'll
constantly.
Take off.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
You predicted the future. Wow. We'll
see. Who would you be, Andy?
I would pretend I was some sort of, you know, super smart scholar. Like, I went to an Ivy League school.
You need to keep that up, though.
I went to an Ivy League school.
What if they ask you questions like, how much does ice weigh?
I'd say, fucking, that's a question from War of the Worlds? He's like, between me and my brother, we know every answer in the world. That's one my brother knows.
Can't you use Google shit?
No.
So someone asks you, oh, you can't go.
You don't have a phone with you?
No, dude. You don't have access to shit. You have to be you. You have to just.
How do you have pictures if you're trying to be something else?
So before the show started,
you make profile pictures.
There's like 20 pictures in albums that of whatever character you're choosing. So if it's you, it's like there's like six different albums of you. If you chose, like if I decided I'm going to use Cool Greg, like I'm going to pretend to be Cool Greg.
Right.
I would just have five albums that are Cool Greg pictures.
Right.
And then as the rules progress, like when it starts, you're allowed one picture. And then it's like, oh, choose the selfies album. I want that to be my profile picture. And then like throughout it, there's like, you can add another profile picture or like you can change your profile picture and then you can go in and like do whatever you want. But like you have a set of pictures that you get to choose from that are of you. Whoever you are,
man.
Okay, so
my brain goes to the darkest place possible on this,
which is
yeah. Well, we can let Andy finish.
No, I mean, I'm just wondering. You know, this facade. Like, I'm starting to already get paranoid, even though I'm not even on the game. I'm starting to wonder, like, what questions am I going to possibly
get?
You'd
be so fucked.
What questions am I going to get that would mm-hmm. like, you know, show that I'm a liar?
So it's not questions. It's you're building friendships. You're building relationships. And it's not until you get, like, we saw in a trailer where the guy who was playing as his girlfriend, all the girls were in a chat and they were all talking about like how awkward it was being in the situation, and one of them was on their period. And all the girls were kind of going back and forth relating and like talking about stuff. And he's like, yeah, like, oh, I hate it. Like it always, it really hurts on my left side. And then it cuts to all the other girls like, fuck is she talking about? Wow. And like, it was so funny. And like, that they ended up just thinking that was weird and like moving on from it. But it was just, it's moments like that was like, he almost got played.
I feel like bags of sand. I would pretend I was a collegiate golfer.
Yeah. Nobody wants to talk about that.
I was a 26-year-old golfer 100%. Still in college.
That's the best thing to do is to have the world's most boring career so that nobody wants to talk to you about it. And golf.
But I could talk golf. That. That's the thing, though. I could talk golf.
Yeah, but nobody wants you to talk golf.
If I needed to.
But if someone's like,
people to like you.
Let's try this. Let's try this.
It's not just you need people not like you.
I'm a cool-ass golfer.
Well, that changes things.
Yeah. Describe your profile picture. To be a cool golfer, Andy.
Profile picture. Oh, man.
Is it you?
Motorcycle.
Physically?
Yeah, but I'm way taller. I'm like 5'11".
Is that the only thing you'd lie about? You'd be like, I'm exactly who I am right now, but I'm solid 5'11".
Yeah.
And then when people meet you, they'll be like, you will not believe how much smaller this man is in real life than I imagined.
He lied. Everything else is right.
Yeah. I don't know why he would lie about this one thing.
Yeah, I'm thinking motorcycle. I'm thinking cool beach sunset, maybe in Miami somewhere. There's golden statues surrounding me. And I'm in the street, but I'm in a house.
Wait, what?
You're in a street in the house.
Yeah.
So you're in. You have a street going through your house.
Yeah.
Because so you can ride your motorcycle in the house. Cool guy. Makes sense. Exactly. Makes sense.
Cool guy.
Cool guy.
Cool guys do.
Cool guys can ride the motorcycle straight into the house. Just like Garrett Hedlund did in Tron. He had that cool little outdoor thing. That was fucking rad. He could just ride a motorcycle right up into it.
Yeah, I think, I don't even know. What would you do?
My mind goes to, I have to be someone else. I would want to pretend to be a girl just to see how long I could do that. A woman, just to see how long I could do that.
You pretend to be like a successful stand-up comedian?
No, because they would know probably. Although maybe.
That's just a dig at you.
Oh, it's a dig at shit. Okay, well, work myself out. We'll see you in 10 years.
You have a documentary.
Playing the fucking Orpheum. Here's where my brain goes. And tell me if this is crazy, okay? Woman, smoking hot, with one glaring flaw.
Like what? What?
Like a birthmark on the face.
You're only a skull.
That every, like the women can look at and go, well, she's gorgeous, but she has that one flaw. So I'm relatable. And then the guys go, well, she's gorgeous. And that's it, full stop. They don't care about anything else.
That could work. But so you guys need to keep in mind here. But down to earth
because of the flaw. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
And now I've lived with a woman for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
10 years. No, 8 years.
Oh, I thought this was part of your backstory. No, I'm sorry.
That is because I'm going to say, obviously, clearly,
mm-hmm.
bisexual has to be.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Great.
See, here's where we get it.
No. Here's why. Right. Here's why.
Mm-hmm.
Bisexual, so that if they ask me questions about women, I can answer honestly based off of my expert knowledge on the female anatomy. Go.
Surprising amount female of single.
I'm a guy. I understand how guys work.
So
see how this is.
I'm only gonna try to like talk about like
see when
episode
a woman,
one
when a
stuff.
Woman goes, what do dudes like? Do dudes really like it when you play with your butthole? I will go
you,
when they play with your butthole. I will
how
go
did
yes.
You get this game?
They absolutely love it. Like when we're just talking rapping. Yeah. Hey, you had sex with your boyfriend that one time. What happened? How come it didn't come? And I can totally tell you why whiskey dick happens.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell you why I could tell you what it's like to not want to turn the lights on when you're having sex. Just keep your t-shirt on. That's easy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm very relatable. Now, as far as my career is concerned, this is where I go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It has to be something in my wheelhouse. So I'm thinking, they can't look up anything, right?
No.
Okay. Definitely YouTuber then or podcaster. So they know exactly who I am.
Kev, do me a favor. Can you Google the circle profiles? Because I'd love to be, if we could just see the eight and like
examples.
Look at it. I feel like I can explain this a little bit better. Because like, the key thing that I think you guys are missing about this concept is when you're only going off of that information, what are people actually going to think? I know you're trying to be cool guy, motorcycle, tall Andy. But imagine if you just saw a picture of a guy on a motorcycle in the street of his house. What would you think? You're not going to be like, I want to be friends with
him. Well, first off, Freddy's a douchebag.
Freddy looks like a PS4 character in fucking FIFA.
Rebecca.
Time and circle Netflix.
Does it say?
Actually, okay. Go down. Go left to the Mercedes one. Yeah. So this is a perfect example.
Got it.
Yeah.
Mercedes. This picture is all you get. Age 27, relationship status single, God knows my heart, but the devil knows my vocabulary. That's all you get from her.
That's it.
Now, she is actually a catfish.
And does anything ever...
She's actually this butch lesbian, like, older woman.
Yeah.
And she was just playing as this girl that she thought was hot.
I just feel like mine would say, is that Harrison Ford? Is Tim Harrison Ford from the new trailer?
Other seasons I haven't seen.
I'm a fun-loving professor.
So I think this is season four. Yeah. But this is the first time it's been in America. It's kind of like The Office.
This is what I'm saying. I'm going to pick the perfect age. I love the bisexuality 26. Allows mm-hmm. me to flirt with both men and women and have them feel special. They'll love me for it.
So your Nick is off to a good start.
Right.
Almost every single person was single and bisexual.
Yeah. You got to do it. And I'm going to also put 27 years old.
Okay.
And here's why. Because guys are like, 27, fantastic, she's still in her 20s. Women will look at that and go, she's not in her early 20s anymore, so I don't have to hate her for being 23 and not having what I have.
Because she's too young.
She's too young, and she doesn't care about life. 27 is where you start to get responsibilities, where you start thinking, maybe I should settle down. I should stop tripling up on people at night. See, I'm already turning you guys on. Look at you thirsty motherfuckers.
What do you mean, tripping what?
Triple sex. What are they called?
Like
threesomes. That's what I was looking for. That's what I was looking for.
Triple it up. What do you mean, triple? We definitely call this episode Sexual Awakening.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Triple sex. Because I have all these sexual adventures, but I've learned from them, right? And it's not hot anymore. But the guys will go, oh, but she used to do threesomes with her. Maybe I can get her to do threesomes. Women, meanwhile, with the women, I'm like, you know, it just wasn't what was cracked up to be. I'm looking for, like, more just the person. I want to fall in love with the person and spend my time with them and dedicate my life to them. Meanwhile, the guys in the back, all they heard was threesome. So they're thinking, you know, triple guys, sex, we are threesome, full stop. We're not here. You don't want to do that shit anymore.
Right.
We go, oh, this girl is going to be someone that can get other women to come in and have sex with me, and that's the perfect scenario, right? Guys are dumb. That's easy. I can trick guys like that with my sexuality.
Sexuality.
I would go for so that woman we saw earlier. Let's say librarian, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I making that up?
You made that up.
Fuck.
She didn't have a job.
And here's what my profile.
It just said God is good and.
Oh, so profession is
devil knows my
vocabulary. It's up to you. You get a couple sentences for your bio.
Okay.
You get to.
Oh, it may have been the old man that said librarian.
But there's another way to go about this.
Barrett, can you look up Joey the Circle profile?
There's another way to do this. Is just to be so outrageous that you're awesome no matter what. And I think that might be secondary number three, where I'm just having a great time and fucking with people and having fun and making people laugh.
I own a bar.
And they love me.
So. Yeah. We kind of there was a couple of those. I would say Joey and Chris. I want to see both of their profiles, Kevin. Okay.
I own a bar in Queens.
What's your bar called? Is it called Santana's, where they only play Santana music?
It is.
That's
it actually
awesome.
Is, yeah.
Yeah.
How'd you know?
Great bar. I've been there. You guys
I'm a wicked bar owner.
I really wish that, like, you guys had just a little more context for the show, because, like, I love where you're taking it, but, like, if people pulled it up and it was I own a bar called Santana's, they only play Santana music, people would be like, what
that's
the
awesome.
Fuck is wrong?
If I saw
with
that,
them?
I would be your best friend. I'm like, this guy knows how to fucking party. This guy's friend.
Oh, damn, this sucks. Yeah, fuck. Just image search? Yeah.
This is Joey right here. This guy looks a little bit like John Carl.
Yeah. But this dude, Chris, like, go to the right a little bit. Yeah, right. Okay, Chris.
Chris is a
very,
guy
very,
like
very
a
flamboyant gay man.
Yeah. He looks like the guy that married Carmen Electra.
Yeah, leave this picture up real quick.
It's the guy the rocker. Chris ain't not Chris Angel.
Navarro. Dave Navarro.
Dave Navarro. Yeah. He looks like a little like Dave Navarro.
He plays himself, and he is outrageous as fuck, and it's just like people like him.
And everyone loves him because he's himself.
I'm the loud
gay dude. Silly gay dude. Okay,
yeah,
okay,
and he's just like super, super authentic to himself. Yeah. Then we have, like, who's the bottom right is this guy, Shoebomb. He is just straight up like, I hate social media.
Shoebomb.
It's the fucking devil, and, like, people that are on it are stupid. He's just this nerdy-ass dude. That like,
I
like,
already don't
and like he like
him.
His picture. It's this, but he graduated college, and it's like him, like
did he
in
get
his graduation
off super fast?
Day. I don't want to spoil.
He
the
definitely
show.
Got kicked out. I would be like, I don't like you. I don't like curmudgeon. Why would you join this team if you wanted to be a dick the entire time about social media? Clearly, you don't like it. Get out. You're done. Shoebomb, Dave Navarro, you're staying. Vanessa Hudgens, you're staying. John Carl, you're staying. We're good to go.
You would like her a lot, Sammy.
Nick. Sammy,
she seems wild. She just seems like a fun
try. Look it up, Sammy. It's Sammi. No, yeah, because I want to get more of these damn profile pictures. I hate that they're not coming up.
I think
Sammi. IE, it looks like.
IE.
IE, the circle.
All right, well, this isn't working out. Anyways, I feel like I would not play myself at all. Because people would look at me and just be like, douchey looking white guy. Because I need to be careful with that.
Great eyes, though.
I know. That's the thing. It's like, I would probably still use me, but like, I would definitely change a couple things
up. What would you be?
I don't know. Just like toned down just a little bit compared to the real me. You know?
So you just only wear one bomber jacket at a time?
Yeah, I feel like it's the look that I would have to change a little bit just because I feel like people wouldn't respect me.
Your look is fine. Your look is good.
Yeah, but it's like, I'm not cool enough to dress the way I dress.
Sure.
In pictures to people that don't know me.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
So that's why I'm like, I'd want to be.
I'm trying to think of like someone's, what profile photo would I use? I would definitely probably want somebody like Latino. Somebody of like a Mario Lopez style.
What about
super buff?
Yeah. What about the guy Noah Centineo? He's sort of Latin, right?
Yeah,
but he's not famous though.
Hey, but what if it was him?
What if it was Noah Centineo?
People that kind of look like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I would go. I mean, maybe I would just use myself. I don't know.
It would be the most fun. Would be to use yourself. Because then
know it would be the most fun.
You don't think so?
I mean, that would be, it would be.
Because you know I can't lie to people.
It would be the easiest.
So if someone said, hey, are you catfishing me? I'd have to say yes.
Yeah, they'd be like, are you a bisexual woman? No, I'm not.
Thanks for asking, Sammy. I'm sure not.
Are you a bisexual woman who wants to have triple sex with people?
Triple sex. I like to triple
it
up.
It almost
on
immediately turned into just everyone flirting with everyone.
Of course.
Even though like they didn't know.
No, there's that buffer of technology gives you emboldens you.
Yeah.
So of course, that's what I'm saying. If my profile picture said, I used to triple up on people, but I don't anymore, question mark. Every guy's going to be thirsty for that. For that ass.
Yeah.
Oh,
there was a lot of thirst.
It's a thirst trap, bro.
Some people were, so here's an example. There was this frumpy looking dude that like went as a super hot looking dude. And
his photo was a super hot look.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was talking to all the girls when he first came in, and he was like trying to flirt with them, and like he got called the fuck out because
he
flirted in the weirdest way. Is like
creepy peepee.
Like, how aroused are you right now?
Yeah.
Don't use the word aroused. He asked.
Don't use the word aroused.
And it cuts to him, and he's like, nailed it. Like.
Oh, God.
Nailed it. And it's so funny.
Oh, I would be great at flirting over text.
I want us to be on this show. I want us to do this show.
Yeah. And not know who each other
like,
are.
But like, I want us to do it with like a couple Funhouse people, a couple like RT people. Oh, like, let's just get like a couple of Nick's comedy friends. Let's throw them in.
Oh, God.
Just, like, let's just get
great
people that like might surprise us and just see what the
you
fuck
would know
happens.
My comedy friends immediately because they don't have, let's see, they don't have the boundaries that you need to have when you do online content for a living. If you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they'd be called out real fast. We're like, that's inappropriate. But it'd be fun.
It would just be the hot bisexual woman. I'm like, there you go. That's Nick.
That's Nick.
He's
but what
stuck
if
with it.
Two hot bisexual women.
And then the thing was like, I'm not super horny anymore, question mark.
Looking for a guy to settle down with or two?
Maybe, or looking for a guy to settle down with, maybe his girlfriend too?
Two? Question mark.
Yeah,
that's hotter.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think
so. You would play yourself.
I would play myself, but I would definitely, I feel like I would have to turn it down. Like, I feel like in the way that I'm comfortable presenting myself
now,
given my situation, which means like my Twitter profile picture is probably a great example. I wouldn't want people seeing that. If people didn't know that I'm Tim Gettys, I'm kind of funny.
Now here's an idea.
They'd look at me like, this is a douche knocker.
What?
His Twitter profile.
The photo of you like this?
Yeah.
What? I mean, no.
It's douchey if you know him.
Because what if that's like the headshot of your company? You know what I mean? Like
exactly, though. But that doesn't impress people. If you don't know me, you're like, that's Tim. That's Tim. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't impress
but like
me.
If I know you, and I know that you purposely did that Tim smile.
Totally.
To evoke the Tim motion.
Exactly.
Which is the color blue in emotion.
Thank you.
Thank you. Here's what I'm saying. I like this idea. Mm-hmm. Okay. We should pitch this to Rooster Teeth. We get 20 people from the Let's Play family, what's left of them at least. Because, man, we are shedding people in this family like fucking like dead flies just coming up. Get everyone in a room. Now, you're allowed to be yourself or one other person from the Let's Play family. So how well could I be Kevin? Do you see what I'm saying?
See, I like this. We're taking the circle.
But flipping it. So you can't be other people. We each have
to.
You get assigned someone. So you get to be yourself. It's kind of like that game, the blend-in game. What the fuck, Jackbox? Yeah. You know, we're like, everyone gets to be themselves, but one person has to fake it. So what if all of us came together?
That would be the only way it would work with us if we all knew each other, because
we'd have to. So that's the thing.
I can already imagine.
You'd have to ferret out because I know Andy, but I don't know Bruce that well. But if I got Bruce, yeah, and some people have to be themselves, and everyone has to figure out who is the real person.
I can imagine situations where Kevin is pretending to be somebody and then gets told, yeah, I was just talking with Kevin earlier, and he's like, fuck, somebody else is me, but I just can't really say it.
Then you later have to wait and watch back and see if Kevin gets eliminated and who was Kevin. Like, oh my God.
Isn't that? That'd be fun. We'll call it Circle Gets the Square.
Oh, sure.
Nice. Nailed it.
Yeah. Then it's a circle tie-in.
I get it.
Do you understand
me?
Mm-hmm. I love this concept.
Face off.
Squared off. Squaring off. Four square.
Okay.
B square.
Word
there, B
association
square.
With Nick Scarpino.
Face off.
It's an interesting concept. It gives me anxiety just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Not what I think we could have fun with it and do this stuff, because I would make a great Greg Miller, because I would just go into fucking raccoon stories left and right and stupid. Actually, Greg would be hard. You'd have to know wrestling. You have to know a lot of obscure, stupid shit if you're
no,
Greg.
But the thing is, like, it's not like people are
the lyrics to every song ever made.
So the version of our game, it sounds like, is that we're trying to figure out who that person really is, as opposed to just knocking them out. Because at that point, you start quizzing the other person.
Yeah, and again,
imagine.
Hey James, when did you marry Elise?
They're not asking questions.
Yeah, they're not doing
it's
that.
Not,
yeah.
It's literally just.
Are you likable?
You're just talking like, hey girl, what's up? Like, this shit's crazy, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Like, I can't believe this happened to Rebecca. Like, that's all that it is like. They're talking about the only thing that they can relate to each other,
if somebody rubs you the wrong way, I talk to somebody else and be like, dude, this person was
I can't
a bitch
believe
earlier.
That Antonio eliminated, you know, Versace or whatever.
That's what he told me.
Exactly. And they're like, wait, I heard that she said this. It's like, and they all have notepads
but
keep
lying
notes.
Is a sin. It's against the Bible.
And a lot of people get in a lot of trouble for that shit. They get called out, man.
Wow.
Now, here's the thing. I'm transitioning this into, for a long time, I wanted to get Fran on The Bachelor. I am now realizing I want to get Nick on The Circle.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Fran on The Circle. I was like, watching Fran on The Circle would be the most annoying thing man's ever done to another man. I'm dead today. It might actually be like a hate crime. That's how bad it would be. Like putting Fran in front of people like that, because he's so fucking neurotic.
He's not in front
of
them, though. He's alone
but
in
his
room.
But we have to watch him. Do you understand? Constitute was the word I was looking
camera.
For. He's in front of a camera. But imagine Fran,
cameras.
Someone goes, hey, how are you?
Hey.
And Fran has to decide what to say next.
Oh, no.
And we have to watch.
45 minutes later, he's still, it's
well,
just the thought bubble.
But that's the thing. Immediately, he would lose. People would be like they're thinking too hard. What are they doing? Like, that's the game. And Fran would fuck it up. You'd fuck it up as well, because you'd be talking about three sex, whatever the fuck you call it.
Triple up,
like,
four down.
But I want you on this show, and I want you to just be you. I want it. Hey, I'm Nick Scarpino.
Oh, I would totally do this in a heartbeat. This would be so stupid fun. I would get bounced in the first round, but it would be hilarious.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. Like, they're going to do another season. This is a success.
Yeah.
I think we can get you on, because they want a varied group of people. They want it to be different, and like, this group was extremely
I'm a YouTuber,
varied.
You know, whatever,
yeah, totally. Like, that could be fun, and I would pay so much money to watch.
Me
you do
too.
This.
Oh my God,
watch Nick fucking panic, having to like talk to 23-year-old girls. Like,
I can picture him looking at the camera going.
That's the thing, though, but it's here's why it's no fun, because I'm married, so I can't actually flirt.
You're missing the point.
Yeah.
It's not it's about
you
convincing them that you're flirting
I know,
with
but
them.
There's a part of me that used to Tim when I was single, I used to be dangerous. And I don't have that part of me anymore.
Dangerous.
It's gone.
You can't have sex with them.
Yeah, but they don't know that. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, they do.
You have
there
to
are
know,
walls.
You have to know there has to be the possibility, the real possibility of sex. Or else the flirting just isn't as
well, like
good
I said,
as it
once
used
you
to.
Get sent home, you get to go choose one person to go see.
Can you bang him?
You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Can you?
I you 100% could.
I wonder about your claustrophobia being stuck in this.
Being stuck in the windowless room? I think I'd be okay.
Yeah.
But it would not be fun.
Well, there's windows. You just can't open them.
Yeah. Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
You can look outside.
You can look outside.
What? Oh, here's the thing. Nick, here's what we do. Mm-hmm. Scheming up a plan. You're on the show. You look out a window. there's a helicopter, and I'm floating down with a I'm on a guitar, like a bungee rope, and I'm holding up a big mirror.
Okay.
And you're like, room B4, and I aim up to that so you could see who's in that room.
Yeah.
You can make eye contact with
them. That'd be fun. I almost just don't want to know, though, because I'm I don't know if you guys know this about me, but the more information I have, the more I'll cancel this helicopter. When it comes to stuff. Mm-hmm. If I don't know anything, even how the rules of the show work, I'm unbridled.
Well, that's the other interesting thing about the show is they learn the rules as it's
happening. As they
go. Oh,
like, it's not like they all go in like, oh, this is how you play the game. It's like every day they add another layer and another wrinkle of life.
I'm the same way as you are, Nick. You know, it's one reason why I don't like playing board games.
It's too many rules.
There's so many rules, and I feel embarrassed and anxious that I don't understand the rules immediately.
Strategy.
And I hate having to ask questions and stuff. It's the same way with Dungeons & Dragons. Like, I've seen a couple Dungeons & Dragons podcasts, and I'm just like, what? Like, there's a dragon in the room, and then a person asks, like, can you shit on the dragon's tail? Go ahead, roll for what? And like, what are the rules? Like,
I don't know, man.
Remember when we did the critical role thing, and I was like, I'm just going to do a fireball for four rolls, and everyone's like, whoa, you're coming out of the gate with that. And I was like, I don't know if that's good or bad. And then I did it, and I killed three people, and I felt bad about it. But I guess and then Critical Role went on to fund a movie for $1 billion.
And now they're doing okay now.
They're doing okay.
They're doing all right.
Who would have thought? We gave them their start.
It all started in the Game Over Greggy show.
We continue, ladies and gentlemen. I want to take a break to tell you guys about our sponsors. Our first sponsor is Upstart. Ladies and gentlemen, as most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy. Getting out is hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high-interest credit card debt. We've talked about this before, but Greg Miller sucks at money and took a loan that had a terrible, terrible rate on it back in the day when he first moved here, and it royally messed him up for a very, very long time. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, so if he decides to do that again, he knows where to go to get a smarter interest rate. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate. The best part, once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. The next day, over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards to meet their meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/kinda to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/kinda. Next up, we've got Valentine's Day is right around the corner, everyone, and we know finding the right gift can be stressful. That's why our friends over at Movement Watches have already done all the hard work for you. They've curated their best-selling watches, jewelry, and eyewear styles into the perfect Valentine's Day gift box set for him and her. Enjoy a stress-free Valentine's Day with Movement's best-selling styles already pre-packaged together in a sleek gift box set they'll love. Choose between beautiful watch and jewelry combo boxes, or upgrade to a deluxe box that features a watch, bracelet, and pair of glasses. All in one-and-done gift made easy. Get them something they'll wear every day with a clean, timeless watch. And for every watch order, you get a free extra watch strap and free gift box already packaged together for you. If you need a little extra help choosing the perfect style for your Valentine, find exactly what you need with Movement's 2020 Valentine's Day Gift Guide. Who says you can't gift yourself while you're at it? Movement's special duo box features a best-selling men's watch and a best-selling women's watch, so you can both can look at the part and enjoy your special day. I love that, because if there's one thing I love getting more than getting my wife a present, it's getting both of us a present so that I can enjoy it too. Get 15% off with free shipping and free returns by going to mvmt.com/kinda and enjoy it. A free extra watch strap and free gift box with every watch order. Go to mvmt.com/kinda for your most stress-free Valentine's Day gift yet. That's movement.com/kinda, MVMT. There you go. Go get it. Get after it. Why are you not getting after it? Next up. Oh, breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. This important PSA is brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your public service announcement. After more than 18 months of research and development, the Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created. And this ad, I believe that everything in my life that I've ever done has led me to this point. Because I need this thing. This new trimmer was just released only moments ago, and we are the first to confirm the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 Manscaping Trimmer is now available for purchase. This third generation Manscaped Trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. Millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. We've been talking about Manscaped for a while right now. I believe Tim's using it because he's just a furry mongrel, and he absolutely needs to trim all that stuff down. And thankfully now, I like that there's someone out there thinking about us, Kev. Because you know what? It's not easy being hairy, especially down there. Yeah. If you use the Lawnmower 2.0, it's an easy transition because it's the same replacement blade and the new and improved skin-safe technology. When I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery lasts up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. One of the coolest features is this LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. That I just want more light down there at all times. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. God, they have fun. They have fun naming these things. And let's not forget about the charging station. Show your mower off loud and proud because this intelligently designed stand is a rapid charging dock powered by USB. If you're listening to me speak right now, you are one of the first people to hear about this life-changing product, and I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim that junk of yours. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code KINDA at manscaped.com. And as always, your balls will thank you. One more time, get 20% off and free shipping with the code KINDA at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code KINDA. As always, your balls will thank you. Now, back to the show. That was a great ad read. I crushed it.
You did. I'm very proud of you.
Crushed it.
I would love to honestly get funded to do D&D, to learn it, to role play, to be really into it, and then be able to fund a movie for $1 billion.
That all sounds great.
It'd be super cool.
No, I mean, honestly, like, what the Critical Role people do, I mean, what little exposure I've had to them, which is just the thing that we did. I'm not going and watching their stuff. But there's them. There's, I think, Harmon Quest is another one that's, like, a big one that.
It's literally anybody you know that does comedy does this, except us.
Yeah. It's so creative, but it is not as easy as we would think. We would make it out to be. You have to have that lineage of actually knowing the game and knowing stuff, and then obviously like working with each other for so long and having that chemistry. And I just don't think we're there yet.
Like, I just 10 more years. I always feel
Miller
so jealous.
Was so good at it.
I always feel so jealous when I'm sort of scrolling through Twitter and I see a lot of people in my timeline tweeting about the one big event, the big game, right? The Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you're getting they're getting towards the end of their campaigns, and it's like, holy shit, I can't believe, like, we're two episodes away.
Super Bowl is...
No, I'm talking about Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, I was like,
I'm talking about
sports.
So recently, several months ago, but the McElroy brothers, Justin and Griffin McElroy, and their father and Travis, all do a sort of Dungeons and Dragons campaign, mm-hmm. and I guess they were getting towards the end of one of their campaigns, and it was like this big emotional thing, and everybody in my timeline's tweeting about it, and it's like, I would love to go see what that is, but it won't hit me because I don't know what the hell's going on. Like, I have no emotional resonance. Like, none of these characters have emotional resonance with me. Mm-hmm. I'm not even using that terminology correctly.
No, you're right. You're right.
Tired.
It's not resonating with you.
Yeah.
You don't emotional.
I haven't been there to see all the twists and turns that this campaign has taken.
But that's what's so interesting about that, because you really do have to commit to that. And you have to do it, and you have to like not have any sort of level of embarrassment toward doing it. You just have to own it and love it.
I almost did D&D with Mika.
For Wizards of the Coast one.
Yeah, and
Dante Basco.
Dante Basco, yeah. The guy who played
Rufio.
And
Hook.
But see, these are like also, they have the distinction of being like professional actors as well. So being in character and being able to like improv with
Mika?
That. No, but I mean like Critical Role people is what I'm thinking. Like Travis Willingham and Laura Bailey and all these people. Like, they're really good at their day job. And so they bring that energy and that expertise to that. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why that does resonate with people.
What if I role play Tony Stark?
Oh, you would. Oh, what if we did D&D, but as the Avengers? And I could be Fat Thor. Mildly overweight, short.
I'm in.
I mean, no, fuck that. I'm not going to be Fat Thor. I'm going to be kind of dumpy, short Thor. How about that?
You could be Rocket.
Okay.
I'm shorter than you. I don't even know why I make this joke. I just thought like short and hairy.
Greg could be your Groot.
Definitely Groot.
Greg could be your Groot. Yeah.
See, the thing about Greg though is Greg actually I think does have like I think obviously we could do this if we wanted to do Dungeons & Dragons. But Greg out of all of us has that unhinged imagination that I think would lend him to so well doing that. He'd have to get over that thing he does where he starts talking and immediately makes himself laugh and then hyperventilates in the corner and then people make gifs of him.
Unless that's part of the character.
That's true.
Yeah, Greg Miller does have that, like, I wouldn't necessarily say he's good at improv, but he's good at just making shit up.
No,
you know what I mean? It's on the spot, just like here, it's the noun. It's always the noun. What noun's he going to use?
Yeah. So here's what I appreciate about Greg, but I will say that, yes, he could use slightly better improv skills. And I'm basing that off of the last 10 times Watto has showed up and just said the word Annie and then pumpkin for like 45 minutes. Now, again, very entertaining.
He does a great job.
Oh, he does a great job.
I think Greg is completely fine. I think we'd all do a really great job if we did.
Should we do a KFAF D&D episode where everyone comes and plays characters?
I don't have enough time.
We have 40 minutes. We just do one stage
like
of it.
Like a little mini campaign.
Yeah.
Do a 3-hour one.
No.
Fuck.
No one wants that.
Fuck.
I mean, 3 hours of anything.
I feel like that's very popular.
No, we'll break it up. We'll do a short campaign. We'll bring in a professional dungeon master, and then we'll learn how the game works.
Let's just bring in Matthew Mercer. Yeah. Fuck it.
He'd be down.
Ready?
I'm sure.
Just pay him.
If we can't get him, Lou Medina.
Oh, Lou. Or Drucker also. Drucker's been a D&D-er for a long time.
Lou has wanted to do it for us for a long time.
Oh.
You know who he does it with? Alfredo. And I would love to see that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they pay like in their own time, in their free time, right?
Yeah, just for fun.
Yeah.
Just for fun.
Lou is so into it. Lou commissioned some artist on the internet, like some illustrator, to draw out what the characters look like. Like, you know, this person's a tall, muscular bard, and this guy is a small dwarf, or, you know, like, and he had a really nice illustrations drawn out of what the characters look like. I love shit like that. Like, I absolutely love
what
that.
What would your character be? Would you be a dwarf, an elf, or a real human?
Dude, I'm always elf. Like, when I play World of Warcraft, I always go elf. Were you just setting me up for that?
Yeah, I was.
Whatever, bro.
You fucking nerd.
Whatever he said, he wouldn't know anything.
It was payback for Rocket, the Rocket comment. You piece of shit.
It's like whenever I play World of Warcraft, I was either on the Alliance, I'm a Night Elf, on the Horde, I was a Blood Elf. And I just love the mystique of being in a place like Rivendell and like in Lord of the Rings, and it's like this super magical area, and you're just badass. I got
elf.
The big eyes, your big ears. I'm not tall enough. I'm not
an
skinny
even bigger
enough.
Heart.
I don't have blonde hair, but they're just super accurate and shit. It's just cool, man.
They are
guys,
cool.
All right, we've sat here for the last
I'd be a wizard
fucking hour and 6 minutes talking about if we had to pretend to be someone else in two different ways, whether it was on the Circle or in Dungeons and Dragons.
Correct.
I'm Tim Geddes. I'm always thinking.
Schema, bro.
I am my profile picture, all right? How do we make money off this? How do we take D&D to
and
the next
circle.
Level?
D&D pay-per-view. Fuck the basketball game where we all blow our hammies and we do a D&D pay-per-view.
Nah, I'm going to get
Here's
buckets.
The thing. Dungeons & Dragons has been done by everybody a million times, and like they've done different variations of it. I say we combine it with one of our loves. Something
Lord of the Rings, we call
loves.
It Dungeons & Baggins.
You guys are getting close. You guys are getting close.
He's really good.
It's Dungeons & Dragons,
Video
but in
games.
The Fast and Furious universe, where we need to come up with a campaign that is a Fast and
we
Furious.
We are stealing like
a
helicopter
heist.
Or
it's
a tank.
Heist of
I
us
love
as
this.
Extended members of the family. And
you
like,
get to be Paul
then,
Walker. I get to
wait,
be Vin
wait,
Diesel, clearly.
Wait. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is all coming to me now, and I didn't even realize where I started, but this seed is sprouted. Guess who loves Dungeons & Dragons?
Michelle Rodriguez.
No.
Vin Diesel.
Yes.
Mark Wahlberg.
Vin Diesel loves Dungeons and Dragons.
He's our DM.
I say he just comes and makes a special appearance as Dominic Toretto.
He can probably get us a video message. That's most we hope for.
That's all I need.
Amazing.
That's all I need. And he might do it. He's a fucking nerd.
Well, you
like
know
Kevin, he's done Dungeons and Dragons on video.
He's
Am I right?
With Critical Role. Remember, we were super jealous about it.
Wow.
Now, what do we call it? I'm gonna. This is jumping off point.
I'm bringing all this, this energy, and he's gonna bring the improv talent.
I'm gonna be Henry Hernandez, and I started off just customizing. I started doing leather, like basically
upholstery.
The little Mexican dude from Pimp My Ride. Yeah. Okay. So right here, we're going to put a really nice leather. And I was just that guy. I was the upholstery guy. But then I also started messing with paints. But and now...
Messing with paints, sniffing too much?
Now I'm a fucking hacker. Like, I'm Tej, basically. I have the knowledge of Tej.
So you went from car upholstery to advanced computer hacking.
That's what Tej did. Yeah,
classic Fast and Furious.
That's fair. We all have different roles.
I'm trying to think of something along the lines of like Dungeons and Family.
Yeah, here's the thing. We got Fast, we got Furious, we got
Dungeons
Family.
Dungeons and Furious.
Three F words. We don't need dungeons in there. Like other people call it like Adventure Zone and like, I don't know, other names, but.
Didn't Cowchop have one that was like class of 1980X?
Yeah.
They did a D&D campaign where they were all like in the 80s. And
I mean, it needs to be something that's like Hot Import Nights or something like that. You know what I mean?
I mean, that sounds cool right there.
That's pretty fucking cool.
It's a magazine, unfortunately.
But with Fast and Furious, like, the more ridiculous name, the better. You know? Like, there needs to be some type of dumbass.
Like, Super Nitro Rocket. Yeah.
Two dungeons.
No, or we go the opposite way, where it's like, it's something to do with stealing VHS
explosions
players.
Explosions and drifting. Dungeon.
Drift racers.
Hold on.
Drifting around.
Fast and Furious Spy Racers.
Spy Racers is dope.
That's the Netflix cartoon.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
That's a great name.
Yeah. Which, that by the way, I watched the first episode.
Spy Hunter. Oh, no. Never mind.
Dominic Toretto's voice.
Is it?
Yeah.
Great?
Oh, the show's weird. The show's not bad. It's a kid's show.
Okay.
It's pretty
impressive. Is it actually Vin Diesel?
Vin Diesel's in it. Yeah.
Explosions and Drag Racing. Like race? Dungeons and Dragons, shit. Explosions and Drag Racing.
We're getting there.
And Dragon.
We're getting there. We're close. We're getting close.
Yeah.
I like this idea a lot.
Yeah.
I like this idea a lot.
There's elements. There's elements for sure.
It's got to be something that's... What's that? What are people in the chat saying?
What are the odds of us getting sued by Fast and Furious?
Not a chance.
Nobody cares about us.
They're family.
But I feel like Vin Diesel owns that family. And
like if we're in court, like we're family, man. Yeah. And Vin Diesel's like, that's a good point.
Kevin.
I can see Vin Diesel not high... In a suit, just being like, I just want to be clear. They're being litigious right now. I'm gonna
First off, okay, here's what I'd say. Your Honor, may I have a word with the other client? And then I'd go like this. Hey, there's a barbecue happening out back. Do you want to come? And then we'd be fucking cool. We'd be family. Because Vin Diesel's fucking kryptonite is barbecues.
Or they're like guilty.
Let everyone into the fucking barbecue.
They're like guilty, 50 years in jail. And you look at the judge, you're like, wow, you're not invited to the barbecue. And he's like, fuck, never mind.
We could just call
The barbecue absolves
the
everything.
Barbecue.
Exactly.
Torbenok in chat says drifting and dragging. Is that doing anything?
Drifting and dragging sounds like we're
definitely it makes you think something else.
It sounds like we're maybe doing something that we don't need to be doing at night in San Francisco.
But I like the barbecue element though.
We're gonna come up with something great.
Right.
I love when you said Hot Import Nights. That's the vibe that I want. Like it's action. I mean,
the magazine might be defunct.
It might
by
be
now.
Defunct.
Kevin, can you Google Hot Import Nights and see if it's still a thing?
Hot Import Nights, nah, man.
It's
just
like
close.
A Maxim style magazine.
Yeah,
where it's just really, really, really naughty looking girls.
Because I want cars. I want espionage.
With little
I want
crop tops.
I want fire. I want weapons and guns.
Okay. What if it's like Hot Miami Nights? Our Hot San Francisco Nights. There we go. So scroll down here. You can see exactly the kind of tone they're going for here. That's right there. That's it.
Great. I love that.
Yeah.
Not showing that. Not
because
it's too much, because the mystery is better. You know?
Yeah, that's very true.
Sure.
What about like Supercharged Nights? Or Supercharger Highway? Oh, that's a cool name.
Supercharger Highway.
Where the highway... Where the highway leads, or where the high
all
fast hot nights, hot wet nights, wet hot American summer.
I knew you were gonna go there.
This is what we do. This is how creativity works. This doesn't come out of a void. What fast friends?
Nights. See,
super fast friends is funny.
Here's my thing. I just say like fuck it. Let's get sued.
Fast friends.
You know, like something like a fast. I want it to be something colon a Fast and Furious Dungeons and Dragon campaign
experience. Yeah,
experience.
I like Fast Friends.
It's pretty good.
Fast Friends. What do you think of that?
Fast Friends is pretty good. It is what it is.
Fast Friends. We became fast friends when we started this company. We're definitely going to do
Nitrous Nights works for me a lot, Kevin.
Nitrous Nights? Hot Nitrous Nights?
You don't have to put hot in them.
Hot makes everything sound cooler. Well, furious always makes me think of masturbating for some reason.
You know, yeah, Nick's had some quotes wait, this one.
You know, it's weird. It makes me think of masturbating.
Right?
Too.
Like, Jesus. Is the heater on in here?
Probably.
Huh.
Do you want the fan?
You want me to turn it off?
No, it's because the fan was hitting my left eye.
Just trying out the left one?
And it was like irritating it. And I think it's because I was rubbing my eye, the inside of my eye.
I fucking love this idea. And I don't know how we do it, but we have to. Because you can build these like Dungeons and Dragons style games and like, but not have them be D&D. You can just use the rule set. But we have to learn. We have to like learn the fucking game and like play it for real and be in character the entire time.
We would need someone that's a DM that gives a fuck about Fast and Furious. Like, I'm not fucking around. You
like,
know
who
what
cares
I mean?
About Fast and Furious that does Dungeons and Dragons?
I don't know.
Does Meg still like Dungeons and Dragons and does she, or Fast and Furious and does she do D&D?
Of course she loves Fast and Furious. I don't know, but her stance on D&D.
I bet you she's for it.
Yeah.
No, okay, we can work backward though. We could just find someone who's a great like dungeon master and force them to watch all 9 Fast and Furious films.
That is true. That
it's
is true.
Worked for literally everyone in this company.
Yeah.
Barrett rejected it at first.
Everybody
and then
fights it.
Right around Tokyo Drift. He was it. He was
I get
in.
It, man. Hey.
I literally saw his fiance crying in the other room when she saw the latest trailer.
What was the name of the kid
Han.
Who races him in Tokyo Drift at the beginning? He was the older brother in it's not
Zachary
Brad,
Ty Bryan.
Yeah.
Home Improvement.
How can we work him into this? I don't mean his name, I mean can he be on this?
I do think this might be our best chance at getting Fast and Furious related people. Related in our content at all.
I do think so.
Because I think I've always wanted to get Han somehow. Sung Kang.
We can't get a.
We don't.
Can't get,
go
we
there.
Can't get the current
don't
DK.
Oh.
No, just because he's kind of, you know, we're really mean to him.
Yeah.
Which one?
The current DK.
Why? You don't like DK?
Sean.
We're really mean.
White boy.
And just how bad of an actor he is.
Oh,
and how much more enjoyable Tokyo Drift would be if he were a better actor.
You mean Lucas Black?
Yeah.
No, I thought he was fine. You guys are assholes to him. He has those weird nipples, but it's not a big deal.
That has never been.
But also, that's what we're talking about.
It's not a big deal. He just, you know, maybe get him clipped down a little bit, like shave him down like a dog's toes.
Oh, God. What is. Oh, God. That, like, made me revolt yeah. my body. Oh.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We should table this idea for now. We're getting a little long, but I do want to get to a Patreon question. Yeah, this is a little bit serious. It's going to be a tonal shift, but I want to hear from you guys on this one.
Okay.
Derek Samayoya, I think I just destroyed your last name. I'm sorry. Says, given the shocking passing of Kobe, what celebrity passings have been the hardest for you guys? Have you got? Can you think of any people that have you've looked up to in the past that have passed away untimely and that hit you hard?
Yeah, I feel like recently. I mean, in the recent years on the shows, we talked about Neil.
Yeah, talk about Neil Peart. Yeah,
from Rush.
Oh, that's
Chester
right.
Bennington from Linkin Park.
Kobe was definitely very difficult to deal with. I was at the airport, which gave me more anxiety than I needed. And I was at the airport in Anaheim.
You're about to get on a flying
instrument?
Yeah.
And my brother just texted me, Kobe, with a sad face. I was like, what? I didn't really understand. And then I just searched.
Because that's unbelievable.
I searched Twitter, and TMZ had tweeted out, which they got really roasted for, and deservedly so, because they notified the public before they told the next of kin. They tweeted out, I was within a minute of them tweeting, you know, Kobe Bryant on board, you know, explosion. He's Kobe Bryant dead at age whatever. It's like, what the fuck? And it was shocking to me. And I still find myself, like, my brain kind of re-realizes that he actually is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll be listening. I saw a lot of interviews. I was just curious to see what a lot of his peers had to say. Me being a big Spurs fan, you know, hearing Popovich talk about it and reading I think the Spurs were set to tip off like 30 minutes after the news came out, and all like there was news that they were going to cancel all the games. Were they going to cancel them? Were they not? They ended up playing, and you know there were several shots of DeMar DeRozan just on the sideline, and he looked up to Kobe, and Pop kind of walks up to him, kind of rubs his shoulders, and after the game, the Spurs lost. And Popovich walked into the locker room. He's like, we lost. Who cares? You know.
Yeah.
He just didn't really have much to say. He's like, it's an awful, tragic day. Especially because Popovich coached him like on Team USA. And the Spurs and the Lakers always had this rivalry all throughout the 2000s. And I'll be watching people talk about Kobe, and they're being interviewed, and then they'll cut to, and I'll sort of just get lost in their words of what they're saying, and then they'll cut to an image of Kobe with his daughter, who also passed, Gianna, and I'll realize, like, oh my God, they're not alive anymore. Like,
yeah.
I my brain keeps on having that realization, like, they're. Yes, I'm hearing this eulogy and this really sad statement from a close person to the family or to a peer, or even hearing Shaq talk about it was really quite a bummer, because you could tell that, you know, Shaq has, you know, some regret. You know, they kind of squashed the beef, but then he'd still bring it back up and they'd talk more shit and this and that. And then they'll show another photo. I'd be like, oh, my God. I can't believe he's actually gone. Like, it's so weird to me. It's so bizarre to me.
Well, how long has it been? Has it been since he actually played?
He last played 10 years almost, 4 years ago. No, this was like
maybe
4 years. I think it was like maybe right before you all left.
And
yeah.
Did he finish his career with the Lakers?
Yeah, he played his whole career with the Lakers. His final game, he scored 60 points, and they showed the next day they were showing the replay of his final game on ESPN, and I was at the gym watching it, and it was mind blowing to me. And also everybody else on the plane, you know, those I guess a friend of his daughter Gianna's, who was on the basketball team with him, and their father was there, and the mother, and
You mean on the helicopter?
I forgot who else was on the helicopter with Kobe and
it was 11
and Gigi.
People, right?
Yeah,
ish.
Very, very sad. Yeah.
Did they figure out what the malfunction was with the helicopter?
I tried reading some of the story and something about just like a crazy wind stuff, and they tried pulling up before they essentially hit the side of the hill. Or I know I'm mostly wrong on everything I'm saying, so you'll probably correct me in the comments. But the news did come out that that helicopter was known to have some sort of security issues or safety issues. Yeah,
shit's crazy. I mean, so, you know, there was a GOG topic, it must have been, when Chester Bennington from Linkin Park died, that I talked a lot about it. It's just like, it was crazy because he was the first person that was like from my generation, like from stuff where it's like, oh, you're not an old dude. Like, you're, you know, Linkin Park has been a band since, like, that I gave a shit about since sixth grade. So it was my formative years going in.
Yeah.
And, you know, thinking back, like, I was thinking about this a couple days ago, actually, like, after the Fast 9 trailer, but Paul Walker is, like, such a...
Paul Walker was definitely... I mean, so the Kobe news didn't hit me as hard, just because I'm not a fan of basketball. I mean, obviously, it's tragic, and I think the thing that hit me hardest about that was not necessarily Kobe, but it was the fact that his daughter was there as well, which is just, like, to me, I mean, obviously, Kobe dying, he was a young man. I don't think he probably wasn't that much older than I am, if maybe younger.
He was 42.
Yeah, so not that much older. He's 2 years older. But, like... That's still, I mean, you got a lot of life left to live, and you've already done, like, amazing stuff on this planet. But the fact of the matter is the daughter was, well, she was in her teens, right? Like 13, 14, something like that. That's just really sad. But Paul Walker. Paul Walker was one of those where I was like, I just don't want to believe this because it didn't make any sense.
Mm-mm.
Paul Walker being like, the Fast and Furious being what it was, they're in the middle of filming 7. You're like, this, no. That doesn't make any sense. Like, he should be alive right now. That's stupid. He should finish the movie and go on and make more movies. And, like,
it all happening, like, it was one of those things where, like, I will always remember where I was when that happened. I remember the text back and forth that started with, like there was text threads between me and you, me and Salamita, me and Mike Pereira. We ended up getting in one group thread, and it was just, like, keeping updated. It was, like, real time as stuff was coming in. It was just like, oh, Paul Walker died. Paul Walker died in a horrible car accident. And it was just, like, the gut reaction was, fuck you guys. Like,
yeah, that's a joke.
This is the worst type of joke you can make. Yeah. Like, don't do that shit. And then it just, like, kept going. And then it was, like, after about an hour, because it wasn't at, like, with Kobe, it was, like, the news came out and it was, like, confirmed.
Yeah.
Paul Walker, it felt like there was an extended period of time that was, like, a... What's true? What's not true? Holy shit, there's pictures. That's definitely a thing on fire, but that could just be of anything. Oh, there's other angles. Oh my God, it's confirmed. Wow, this is crazy. And like, that was such a difficult thing to deal with. Like, obviously, all that stuff's like, that sucks for everybody. But it's just like, when it's someone you can relate to, and like, people can like think I'm just joking and shit. I love the Fast and Furious, and it
brings you a lot of joy.
So much of my life. Has been with this franchise, right? And like with Paul Walker, you know, like seeing him grow even before Fast and Furious, like he was in a bunch of Disney Channel shit. Like he was a dude that I looked at in you know, the same regard as I looked at Britney Spears. You know what I mean? Where it's just like you look at them as somebody that you're like just a couple years younger than, where you're just like, holy crap, like I could be famous. You know what I mean? Like I'm looking up to them. Like they are so much better than me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that. Like not that like I could be famous. What I meant to say is like that is what people can be doing.
Yeah.
Is like, and they're
that's
just
an inspiration.
Yeah, totally. And then, and obviously to see Fast and Furious turn into what it has and everything was so crazy, but then he's just gone, you know?
Yeah. I remember thinking about Paul Walker, and I remember being angry, and not because he was dead necessarily, because death is obviously just a natural part of life, but because that one seemed very avoidable. And it seemed like it was too close to a truth being stranger than fiction kind of thing, where it's like you just left a car show, you're in your buddy's super fast Porsche, and you were doing what we all sort of loved about you, which was like getting in cars and driving fast, albeit on screen versus real life, and this was the consequence of it. And it seemed so almost like, how dare you do that? How dare your friend take like your life so callously for granted that he would race you around and kill you in a car, when that's kind of the thing that we like look up to Paul Walker for, like having introduced into all of our lives.
I mean, you saying that, like another one that comes to mind for me is Ryan Dunn from Jackass.
Yeah.
Like he's the one, like he at the, for years it was like, they're going to die. Someone's going to die. And oh, after all of this, Ryan Dunn out of all of them, like some, the one that I would say is like
the most responsible,
the most, well, not the most responsible, but like, he was pretty good about understanding the dangers he was putting himself in and all that stuff. And like compared to like other people that were like, but then he died from like a stupid ass DUI, fucking alcohol, like he drank related, and then went super fast and fucking
there's
died.
So obviously, and I'm going to say this as delicately as I can, because obviously any death is tragic, but it's almost like you look at that, you look at Travis Barker, and there was a history there. Right, Travis Barker had a history of being depressed, if I'm not mistaken, right? Because he committed
Travis Barker.
DJ AM.
Who was the one that from Linkin Park?
Chester Bennington.
Chester Bennington, excuse me. He was depressed, right? And he killed himself.
Mm-hmm.
So like that, you're like, okay. Not that it doesn't make it better in any shape of the imagination, but that's when you look at it, you go, okay, I that's sad, but not completely unexpected. Like that
Chester Bennington?
If you, judging off of what the family was talking about, how they were like, he had a history of mental illness and he had been depressed and he was struggling with this, and you look at this and it's really, really sad, but you can take something from that, right? You can look at that and go, okay, if you have a child or a friend that's suffering from that, you got to take this shit seriously. We can go from that, right? Alcoholism is the same way. Like, people get in drunk driving accidents all the time. It's a real fucking thing. But then you look at people like Kobe Bryant and you're like, that is just totally avoidable. Like, that just came out of fucking nowhere. And you would think that, like, you have all this money and all this ability to have these things around you that can keep you safe, and then you get in a helicopter and it's over.
Well, I mean, the reason he was in the, I mean, it, because he has all this money is the reason why he was taking the helicopter.
I know, but that, doesn't that break your brain, where you're like, the thing that was supposed to add to the safety and convenience of your life, right? Not having to drive in LA traffic, not having to put yourself in the masses of people, not risking like being around these things. That thing you then take off, and that's the thing that kills you. It's such a fucked up aspect of life. Yeah,
there was an interview.
And again, I don't want people to think that one's better than the other. That's not what I meant to say. It's all happenstance.
It's not like he died because he got in a helicopter. Like, he was in a helicopter thousands of times.
Right, but John Candy, for instance, is another one that hit me, right? And that was one that I was like, we saw that coming. He was a very, very, very obese man. He died of a heart attack, if I'm not mistaken, or a stroke, one of those two. But it was related to his size. And he died way younger than he should have died. And everyone looked at that and goes, that's so sad, but that's an outcome that can happen when you live your life that unhealthily.
Chris Farley, too.
Chris Farley did a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
A lot of drugs.
A lot of his friends sort of knew that.
They tried to pull him back from that, so you see that. But, like, is that different? I mean, it's obviously not different, but to me, it just resonates in a different way than someone like Kobe, where, like, fuck, he should be living right now. That is, he did nothing wrong. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I don't know. And I think Kobe is like on a different level, even where it's like, and obviously there's a lot of factors of things that he's done that are absolutely horrible and this, that, whatever.
We're not talking about those.
Like, what I'm talking about is he is a legend. Like, he is, Kobe Bryant is top tier. I was about to say living legends, like top tier legends of my time, of like, of me, that in the 30 years I've been alive, it's like, I'd put Kobe Bryant undeniably in the top 50 most recognizable people and names, whether it's like face or name. It's just,
oh,
like,
sure.
I mean, he's part of not just popular culture. He's part of like
worldwide history. Culture.
Well, let's put it this way: anytime you're a basketball player being compared to Jordan, you're doing it right, right? Yeah, and you mean so something to a whole generation of children.
LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, and Michael Jordan, I think, are in a league of their own.
Totally.
When it comes to that type of stuff for modern times.
Yeah. The it was so sad hearing Shaq be talking and saying.
And Shaq.
At your funeral, service or whatever. No, he was talking about how the upcoming Hall of Fame is he's going to be inducted soon. Kobe, yeah. It's going to be Kobe and Tim Duncan because they're, I think, 5 years has to pass in between when you get retired and when you could be admitted to the Hall of Fame. And so this year was going to be most likely Kobe and Duncan. And Shaq was like, I'm not going to be able to joke at your Hall of Fame speech about how, or you're not going to be able to joke with how you have four rings, how you got five rings and I only got four. We're not going to be able to joke about anything like that anymore. Like, we can't have those moments. And he was just like, this is so out of nowhere. And I'm just so, immediately sad about how, this is just affecting me and everybody else. And it is such a bummer, though, because I think they mentioned the last time they spoke is about 3 years ago. And, like, that's the last time they actually talked to each other. Like, two guys who've so synonymous with champions that could have won 10 rings, but they just, two superstars together, they just clashed,
Yeah.
And then
ego.
Yeah, and then, Shaq makes that rap about Kobe, how does my ass taste, or forgot what the fuck he says in the rap, Kobe can't do it without me. And there was a big rivalry there, but then they got better and they got older. Most of that was just needing to mature, become adults.
Yeah. I think you look at that and you see, okay, there's the pressure of people who are in the spotlight having to perform, and it's difficult.
I mean, dude, 42, right? Yeah. Do the math on that. When were the Lakers killing it? They were killing it when I was in seventh grade. That's over 10 years ago.
Yeah. So
he was in his
early 30s.
Younger than I am.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy to think about, of like being that level of talented and of superstardom that you have to deal with and all that
shit. It's so weird watching that, by the way, because when you have a team of a group of people that are together and there's like a creative performance aspect of it and someone starts to shine, it's only a matter of time before like there is that breaking point with a lot of groups. I'm watching that. I was talking this morning on Internet Explorers how I'm watching the Monty Python documentary, and even they, after two seasons, went through that where John Cleese was like, "I'm clearly he was the standout," and he was like, "I don't want to do this anymore. We're treading over territory that I don't like. We're doing the same thing over and over again," and it ended up killing the show because once he pulled out, all the rest of the guys were like, "We can do this again," and it just didn't feel right. But it was that weird like. That meeting of that ego, that little bit of ego that was like, I think I'm a little bit beyond this now. And it's like, fucking A. And it happens with all the bands that you watch Behind the Music and stuff.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm just glad we're not talented is all I'm saying.
Yeah. We'll never
agree. We're going to stay together forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another, I've mentioned this before, but another celebrity death that hit me immediately and I'll never forget is
Selena.
I was a little too young for Selena.
Okay.
But yeah, for her passing, I was...
See, I would definitely fail in the game where I had to be you then.
I was way too... Steve Irwin.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was just such a huge fan, and I watched his shows all the time, and every time he was on Leno or Letterman or anything like that, I always made sure to tune in. He was just so fascinating, and I think he was such a... beacon for positivity.
My favorite thing was when he was a guy who would like put snakes on people, right? I'm like, you gotta check out the snake.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. He was just so loving and so positive. And that, again, Paul Walker dying in a car wreck, Steve Irwin dying from a stingray puncture to the heart.
Again,
like,
but I definitely,
how is that possible?
But see, that one hit me different too. Where I looked at that and I was like, well, I like that.
That's like Jackass.
Yeah, it's tragic, but. You put yourself in these dangerous situations because that's what you enjoyed, and that this is there's always a 1% chance.
Doing what you love.
I follow these guys that wrestle crocodiles. And I'm like, this guy's awesome.
No, but
a crocodile's gonna get pissed one of these days and bite your fucking head off.
But like the thing is, the amount of death suffered from being punctured by a stingray are like
very low.
So, like a snake bite, poisonous, like anything like that. But it was just such a weird.
Really? But, that, like, how?
Yeah, sorry. How sorry to get out of the minutia. You're right. I mean, that is obviously tragic because you have a guy that's purposely trying to show people a world that they don't know.
Yeah.
And they don't see. And in doing so, he puts himself in a little bit of danger here and there. And yeah, and no pun intended, but it came back to bite him. And that's.
I fucking love Zero.
That sucks. You know, for me, the only other one I could think about was when we were working at IGN, John Hughes died. And I just remember thinking, like, I was struck by it because in a way, his movies were such a big part of my youth that him dying in my brain marked this weird, like, oh, fuck, you're an adult now. Like, you can't, there's no going backward. You can watch the movies and that's fine, but he's never going to make another one. There's never going to be another John Hughes movie that's made.
Yeah.
Granted, toward the end of his career, they weren't that great. He was turning out Curly Sue, but still, Curly Sue's terrible. It's terrible. I thought he was going to come fight me. I was like, all right, here we go. It's happening.
This is it.
But yeah, that was a hard one. And I can't remember what he died of, but he's very young. I think he had a stroke or maybe he had a heart attack.
I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know he died.
John Hughes?
Like, yeah, I just saw him in a documentary recently. Well, no, they were airing the CNN show, the 80s or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a clip of him in there, and I just didn't realize it. Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's crazy.
It's unfortunate.
What time did we start?
How are we doing? I think we're going on post show time.
Yeah. We're on post show time? You want to get into the post show?
Let's do a little post show for the Patreon people.
That's it for the main portion of our show, the free portion, as we call it. Now, we're going to go into our post show where if you're a Patreon supporter, you get to watch the rest of this little topic. We have another fun topic we can go over. We can keep talking about some other stuff, but you won't know until you support us on Patreon. But if you don't have any bucks to give, no big deal. Just subscribe to this channel and leave a nice comment below about toilet toads. If you don't know what that is, watch MCU in Review for Man of Steel and Batman v Superman. All 7 hours of that illustrious show. We got another one coming this week. Birds of Prey. Going to be fun. Until next week, it's been our pleasure to serve you.